Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, it didn't take long for this building to empty. In fact, the emptying started late in the third when this one really was not in doubt. Let's go back to the first period and the first power play goal for the Storm. They had more than one tonight. Vilmer Ulrichsen with his 16th of the season from Will McFadden and Cam Allen at 11:45 of the first, 1-0 Guelph. And then in a 5-on-3 power play opportunity, Will McFadden would score one of his own, his fourth of the season. Allen drawing another assist along with Thomas Budnick. It came at 15:08 of the first. 2-0 Guelph after 20. Two power play goals for the Storm. In the second, the Storm would add to the lead. Quinn Beauchesne's second of the season from Jet Luchenko and Jake Carabella at 3:11. It was 3-0 for Guelph, and that would be their only even strength goal of the night. Braden Bowman would score at 4:51 of the second. Bowman's 35th from Gavin Grundner, shorthanded. 4-0 Storm. The Rangers would finally get one. Hunter Brustevich with his 13th of the season from Carson Rakoff and Matt Andonofsky. Goal coming at 7:52 of the second period. That made it 4-1. But the Storm were not done yet. They added another before the end of the second period. Jake Carabella's 23rd of the season from Max Namestnikov and Braden Bowman at 16:09 of the second. It was another 5-on-3 power play for the Storm. So they led 5-1 after 40 minutes. Three power play goals, two of them 5-on-3, and a shorty. In the third, only one goal to show for it. It was from Simon Motu of the Kitchener Rangers, his second in as many games, his 11th of the season, from Luca Romano and Adrian Misteljevic. It came on a Rangers power play at 12:12, and that's all the scoring in this one. 5-2 the final in favor of Guelph. Of note, Max Namestnikov takes Cameron Reed heavily into the boards in the first period. Reed did not return, and Trent Swick jumped Max Namestnikov and rained down some punches. Swick given 5 and a game for fighting an unwilling opponent. We'll see if anything more comes of that. Kitchener goes 1-for-4 on the Channers power play tonight. Guelph 3-for-10. The Storm outshoot the Rangers 28-20. Your post-game show for You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, where the Rangers fall 5-2 to the Guelph Storm. One game on our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard, and it shows the Barrie Colts and Niagara Ice Dogs tied 4-4 and headed to overtime. The Ice Dogs led 2-0 and 3-1 in the game, but a Cole Beaudoin unassisted goal 7 minutes into the third would tie things up for the Colts. And then off to overtime and soon to be a shootout, 4-4 on our Leibold Electric out-of-town scoreboard. Let's go downstairs to Paul Fixter.
Thanks, Mike. Ice level with head coach Jussi Hokkasen. Coach, just your, I guess your general thoughts on the game?
Oh, we lost for special teams. We're too much on the box for sure. Like, you don't win any game if you're sitting in the penalty so much. Still, in 5-on-5, we should have gotten more to the net. That's for sure. We weren't getting to the net, but it's a hard game when you have to kill pretty much the whole game.
Coach, just I guess if you could comment on the non-call on Reed.
Well, for me, I saw it as blindside boarding. He didn't see it. He actually, when the hit came, he hasn't even touched the puck, so at that point, he wasn't even on the puck at that point. But I got to watch it from a video afterwards. So, that was a dirty hit for sure.
Is this just a game, coach, where you tough night and you move on and you get on with what lies ahead and not really worry about this?
Oh yeah, you have to move on, but it's still like you don't want to play games like this, like. when you're on the box. I don't know. It wasn't that of a dirty game. Otherwise, like, if slashing is a match and penalty, like, I don't know, like, but I guess it is. Or asking, it is what it is.
Appreciate you giving me a few minutes of your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. Now, that is an excellent point, in my opinion, made by the head coach of the Kitchener Rangers. If slashing Matt Andonofsky in the waning seconds of this game is worth 5 minutes and a game misconduct, how can what the coach saw as a blindside boarding hit away from the puck not something worth penalizing? Fair question to ask after a rough night at the office here in Kitchener. Rangers fall 5-2 to the Guelph Storm. Post-game coverage brought to you by You Save Flooring continues on City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Guelph beats the Rangers 5-2 tonight here in Kitchener. Paul Fixter, ringside.
Thanks, Mike. I'm at ice level with Matthew Saab, and I really appreciate Matthew joining me here because after nights like that, it's not easy to get on the mic and talk. So I really appreciate you joining me. Matt, how frustrating is a game like that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's an emotional game. I think those guys are our rivals, and I hate every single one of those guys every single time I step on the ice, so it's definitely emotional.
If this is a first-round opponent for you guys, what do you take out of these two games?
I just take that they better be ready for what's to come from us. I hope that's our first-round opponent, and I think we got a lot to show and a lot to prove.
So this goes into the memory bank, and you don't forget about it, or do you move on and just worry about the next game?
Yeah, I think obviously we have to move on, like everyone in our heads and everything. But, I mean, all the physical play, all that stuff, we don't forget about that shit. Sorry, excuse my language, but we don't forget about that. That's all I have to say, really.
Last question I have for you. How nice was it to be recognized at center ice with your two overage teammates, Mitchell Martin and Simon Motu?
Yeah, those guys are my brothers for life, guys I've made bonds with for, you know, however the past 4 years now. And, those are my best friends. So it was definitely an emotional last game, last time doing that.
Well, you got two games to go. Finish out the season strong and look forward to watching what comes in the playoffs.
Yeah, same here. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Back upstairs to you.
Matt Saab bringing some thunder in our post-game show. I think we should bottle both interviews with the head coach, who talked about what he saw as a dirty hit and wondered how the hit on Cameron Reed could not be penalized when one of his players was given a 5-minute game misconduct for a slash late in the game. I have not seen that before. I've seen a few things in my time in this league. That is not something I've seen. And Matt Saab made it clear that he hates everyone on the other side of the ice when these two teams line up, and the Rangers are not going to forget the physical play that was part of this game tonight, and he hopes it's a Rangers Storm first round. Bring me more of that every single night that we play, please and thank you. Post-game coverage, I just like the emotion. Post-game coverage brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. You're listening to City News 570.
Who blew a call? Who left it all out on the ice? Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter. Break it down on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, following a 5-2 win for the Guelph Storm over the Kitchener Rangers, make it back-to-back Storm wins over the Rangers. 5 goals both times as well after a 5-4 win in Guelph on Sunday. Let's take a look at your 3 stars from this game. 3 stars, a presentation of the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at BBB.org. 2 assists from the blue line for Cam Allen of Guelph. He is star number 3 of the game. Will McFadden had a goal and an assist in the first period. He is named star number 2. And Braden Bowman The Storm captain and Kitchener native, also a goal and an assist in the game. Bowman is named star number one. So the visiting team sweeps the three stars here in Kitchener tonight. It's Bowman, McFadden, and Allen getting your three stars for the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at BBB.org. We'll take a break. Back to wrap with Paul Fixter and then to your phone calls on post-game coverage brought to you by You Save Flooring. Storm win at 5-2. This is City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
All right, we'll get to your calls in just a moment as we go deep into the night for Rangers Talk. But final thoughts with Paul Fixter. I don't know how you do it, Fixie, but I don't want you to stop, okay? What you are able to extract from your post-game interviews is truly, it's incredible. And I loved what UC Ahokas had to say to you. He called the Max Namestnikov hit a dirty hit. Okay, but his point about how that could go unpenalized in the first period when late in the game, something I've never seen before, five in a game for slashing was assessed to Matt Andonovsky. I think he juxtaposes those two things perfectly and asks a legitimate question. And then Matt Sopp, clearly fired up, hates the other team, will not forget this physical play, and flat out wants the Storm in the first round of the playoffs. I'm here for this kind of stuff all day, every day.
Oh, yeah. No, this sets itself up perfectly if this is the first round matchup, no question about it, especially with what Matthew Sopp had to say. But Coach Ahokas is bang on in his assessment of that and very, very honest. Non-call, missed call, which creates all the incident with Swick. You know, that doesn't maybe happen if the initial call is made. You know, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. They certainly don't take a bench minor for arguing that, which put them even further behind. And then with whatever time there was left when Andonovsky takes the 5 minutes for slashing.
21 seconds.
Yeah, 20. Which at that point just let the... Okay, so he slashed him. But let it go. Get the game over with. And I didn't know there was a 5 minute for slashing.
I think at that point you're grandstanding a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah, no question about it, Mike. Poorly efficient a game. Poorly officiated game, no question about it. Did it cost the Rangers? A little bit, yeah. Like, I mean, the Rangers didn't play well enough, but you can't play well enough when you're in the penalty box and you're out of rhythm and you're out of sorts. And so, no, it was not a well-officiated game in my mind.
All right. Well, we are setting the stage for a dandy Rangers Talk post-game call-in show here on a Tuesday night. This is the last chance Paul and I are going to have the opportunity to do this with you in the regular season. We're going to be on the road right after the game Friday night, so we want to make this something special as we leave the regular season on this note. We'll be here in the playoffs, don't worry. And maybe talk a little bit about the playoffs. Do you want Guelph in the first round? New callers get priority. You want to be a first-time caller to Rangers Talk? You're going to get bumped right to the top of the queue on Rangers Talk tonight. I'll remind you of the numbers, 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Phone lines open right now. First-time callers, take priority. Let's go. It's Rangers Talk following a 5-2 loss to the Guelph Storm tonight. All of it's brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570. Get three on the power play. They get one shorthanded. And yeah, one in there at even strength just for good measure. But a 5-2 win over the Kitchener Rangers tonight. The online scoring summary says 8 power plays for the Storm. I stand by my 10. Either way, it was lopsided in that department. The Storm with twice as many power plays as the Kitchener Rangers. And that's back-to-back losses for Kitchener versus Guelph. 519-570-2545, star 570, 1-800-570-5715. Let's get right to the phones. Linda, you are on Rangers Talk.
Well, where do I begin?
Wherever you would like.
I get it. The coach said, you know, he was saying beforehand, he was like telling the Rangers, like, you know, you can't score from the penalty box. Well, tonight it was impossible because the refs were horrible. We literally had a player down on the ice. The Guelph player was holding his stick, and he was trying to push him off his stick, and there was no penalty. Then when the fights happen, like, it takes two people to fight, that I thought, and only we get the penalties. Like, the reffing was horrible. Like, I get it, they really didn't play that well, but I think they were getting frustrated. And the refs have to be reminded there's two teams out there, sorry. Because it was horrible.
Paul, you touched on that too. And when the game management begins to slip away from the officials, the frustration boils over and then it just gets a little bit goofy.
It does. And you're right, Linda. Like, the non-call on the Reed hit is what really irritates everybody. And
right.
and then the fight ensued. And you can call a fight with only one player taking the fighting major. Like, Namestnikov turtled, and so the fight really is only, it's a one-sided fight. So that is a call that can be made. It's, you know, you can't give somebody 5 minutes for receiving punches. You know, you have to actually throw a punch to be in a fight. But I can understand that call. But the non-call on the face-off where Reed was in a vulnerable position, it should have been a boarding call.
Yeah. And, like, I was, like, I'm a new season's ticket holder, and for me it was really a frustrating game and not enjoyable when it's games like that, because there's two teams and, you know, like that last penalty of the slashing, like, that was really ridiculous. Like you guys said, like, let's just get the game over with and move on with life.
The funny thing about that is, and I'll say again how well I thought UC Ahokas put it at the end of the game, how do you not call the penalty on the hit on Reed and you give this 5 for slashing at the end
That's
of the game?
Exactly,
and we had just talked, Linda, before the game tonight, because last Friday versus Owen Sound, Sam Sedley of the Attack slashed Matt Sopp up in around the head area, and he was given a match penalty for slashing.
Right.
And the way it was explained to us is that it was called a match, which means you get a 5-minute penalty and a game misconduct, because they don't have a 5-minute slashing penalty on the books. Well, it's not 2 minutes because you're swinging at a guy's head, so you're going to make it a 5-minute by calling it a match penalty. But suddenly tonight, there was a 5-minute slashing penalty. I don't know.
Right.
We
and
just had explained that there wasn't
one.
They had 3 5-on-3s tonight, scored on 2 of them. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was really ridiculous.
Before we let you go, let me ask you this. Okay, yeah, just real quick, because you said you're a first-year season's ticket holder. How would you feel about Guelph being the first-round playoff opponent, Linda?
I wouldn't like that too much.
All right, well, listen, appreciate the call. Thanks.
It kind of scares me, actually.
Well, yeah, I get it. After the last couple of games, that makes sense.
I felt they were really rough out there tonight, and nothing was being called, to be honest.
Well, they are a physical team, and they do play that way. And that if the Rangers do play them in the playoffs, that's what they can expect.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, thanks
so
Linda.
Much.
Good to hear from you.
Great call.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Enjoy your night. I want to go back to the one-sided fight, and we'll get right back to the phones in just a second here. But getting back to the one-sided fight, I think, look, as much as it hurt the team because they were already without Luke Elenis and Antonino Pugliese tonight, they got 5 16-year-olds in the lineup, I'll take Trent Swick coming to a teammate's defense like that all day, every day, without hesitation. I mean, I'm a little bit worried he might get a call from the league office after this one because he came in from well out and Namestnikov wanted no part of fighting, but it might bode well for Trent Swick that Namestnikov was right back out there on the ensuing power play.
Oh, yeah, he never missed any time.
Yeah.
Mike, how does Swick not get an instigator on that? Like, he just got a 5.
That's a good point.
Like, I don't, because it wasn't a fight, per se, like, there was only one guy fighting, but I thought it, if ever there's an instigator, it's there. And
right.
There was no instigator called on that. So I understand what Trent was doing, and he was on a mission to make sure Namestnikov understood how it was going to be. But, you know, it really, I thought actually the Rangers did a pretty good job on the penalty killing with all those penalties. They only gave up the one goal during that whole mishmash of penalties that they had there, but it just took away the momentum of the game.
And the one that they did give up was when it was a 5-on-3 situation, which was an extended. I couldn't figure it all out because they took the 5, They took another two.
Then they
took
the
bench. Minor. Yeah. Sopp was still in the box for 4 minutes of high sticking when this all happened. Anyway, let's get right back to the phones on Rangers Talk. Robbie, you're on Rangers Talk.
Gentlemen.
Robbie's fired up tonight.
Man. Okay. Birchall, that stumpy little Muppet, every time he's got the orange armbands on in our arena, we don't stand a cat in hell's chance. I think a number of things happened tonight. We had the thing with Reed and the thing with Swick. Go Swicky, amazing. I have a feeling that the boys are kind of a little bit tired. They're getting ready for the playoffs. They're in fourth place. They're not going up. They're not going down. I think they want Guelph now. Great Sopp, amazing. And I'm really looking forward to us playing them in the playoffs. Just brutal. All season, we've had this conversation numerous times. Absolutely brutal refereeing. I think at some point, Birchall was at school with a kid from Kitchener that picked on him. I've got no other explanation for it. We didn't play well. We were down a lot of players again. Not an excuse. I think our heads were down. I think they realized that no matter what they did, it wasn't going to make a difference tonight. Guelph came to take the piss. Excuse me, I didn't say the... bring on Guelph. Let him get some rest. Somebody buy Swick a steak, for God's sake. And that's all I got to say for today.
All right, Robbie, appreciate the call. I'll just add to that, Muppet is one of my favorite insults. I think that I don't know why I enjoy that one so much. I would concur, not a banner night for the crew here tonight. I like the suggestion that perhaps one of the referees was bullied in school in Kitchener at one point. Not a banner night, but let's take it a step further. You know, Robbie was talking about the somewhat meaningless nature of this game for the Rangers. Look, Paul, I'll be honest with you. I've been saying that for 2 days because after the loss on Sunday, Kitchener no longer could even mathematically catch the Sioux. I don't think anybody believed that they would. But anyway, now Kitchener's finishing fourth, no matter what happens. And so even I, for what it's worth, was approaching these games with a kind of laissez-faire attitude. My real concern now is it became really meaningful because we don't know what becomes of Cameron Reed.
Yeah.
If he's injured and seriously enough, based on what we saw, that he's not around in a week from now, a week and a half when the playoffs begin, that's real bad. And this game suddenly became very meaningful to Kitchener.
You know, no question, Mike. He's such a important part of this hockey club. I'm just guessing, but I would think you would see him sit out the next two games. And whatever transpired down there with his shoulder, I'm assuming, the way he went into the boards, let it recover, rest, and he'll be fine come playoff time if he misses these two games. I think that's what we'll see. And as far as, you know, you don't want to be going into the postseason not feeling good about yourself.
Exactly.
So it is important to get wins, even if, you know, they're meaningless games in terms of the standings. They're meaningful in a lot of other ways, and we touched on some of them in the pregame, you know, individual stats and just, you know, having your special teams dialed in and all those sorts of things, attention to detail, like the coach likes to say all the time. Those are important aspects of the game, and tonight was a bad example of that.
Robbie also mentioned Matt Sopp, and he was pretty pleased with the fire in Sopp's voice post-game. What do you think of, you know, Sopp flat-out saying, we want these guys in the first round? I'll sign up for 7 games or less of this.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a great, proximity. You get fans at both rinks, and, the way this one ended, certainly the season series wasn't like this, but, boy, this one ended... And these games were important to Guelph. I mean, they flat out told us that in our interviews, and they went out and, you know, in the end, they got the 4 points that they were determined to get. So it was important to them, and they do want Kitchener. They've said that. So I think it'd be a great series. I think it'd be a wonderful series, and I think Kitchener matches up well against Guelph. They have to be prepared to play a physical game, though. Guelph plays a physical game.
The Guelph Storm now 7 of a possible 8 points in their past 4 games. The Kitchener Rangers just 2. 3 losses in 4 for Kitchener, London, and then back-to-back versus Guelph. It's a 5-2 win for the Storm here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight. Let's go back to Joe on Rangers Talk. Hi, Joe. You're on City News 570.
Guys, what the H-E double hockey stick was that? What was that?
That was a good old-fashioned hockey match, Joseph.
No, that was the refs handing the game over to the other side. Do they pay taxes in Guelph? I asked the refs. I was yelling at him. I was like 5 feet away from him. I was yelling at him. I'm, are you paying taxes in Guelph? What's the deal? What is the deal? Kelly gets to watch like maybe 2 or 3 games a year. She comes to watch this crap. And the refs just hand... What was this, like a Raptors game in L.A.? What the hell was that?
We need UC to go full-on Darko after this one, eh, and just fine.
You saw Darko go ape crap on the air, and he's, like, immortalized for all time. So what was that? Like, listen. Obviously, please promise me that the playoff series isn't going to look like that game, right? It's not going to look like that game. Tell me.
I doubt.
Give me
of
some
the eight
sort
games,
of assurance.
No, it won't. It won't. Absolutely not. There'll be a lot more. You have to play with discipline in the playoffs. And tonight, the frustration levels got so high that at that point it becomes undisciplined hockey. And that's what happened. That's what transpired.
That's a great answer, Fixie. You know, you should run for politics, like maybe city council. I think.
Oh, there we go. Let's pump those tires a little bit. I can get behind that one, Joe.
Represent, I think mine's Ward 8. Represent Ward 8.
Fixie, I'd vote for you in a heartbeat. Love you like flu. Okay, brother? Got my
Thanks,
vote.
Joe.
All right. Love you guys. See ya.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the call. It wouldn't be. Look, this was. Honestly, Paul, this was game 66 for us this season. I think if we really wanted to get critical, we could count on one hand the number of games that we saw mismanaged perhaps as much as tonight's was. It wasn't a great game for the Stripes. I don't know that I would go so far as to say, though, that's what cost the Rangers.
No, it didn't. What happens, though, that you focus in on the biggest element of the game, and the biggest element of the game was non-call, losing a top player.
Yeah.
You know, and then everything else kind of follows, I guess. But that's the biggest, and that's what the focus seems to be on. Now, there was still a lot of time to play at that point, but, you know, take Reed out of the lineup, that's a huge, huge loss for sure. But, no, the referees didn't cost the game, but they certainly didn't give the Rangers any help.
Star player, non-call. It was only 1-0 at the time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they got out of that. They got out of that with only the one. It's 2-0 after all that shenanigans happened. Still a lot of game to play.
Right.
But then it just spiraled and snowballed out of control after that. But the non-call was the biggest component of this game for me.
It's one of the things, just one of the things that makes the game at this level so great. Let's get right back to the phones. Bill is with us on Rangers Talk. Hello, Bill.
Hello, boys. How's it going?
Real good. How are you?
I'm good. The refs didn't cost the Rangers a game tonight. Guelph is a better team. I think the Rangers just play too soft. And that Birchall and Reed are the two worst refs in the whole league. I know Reed wasn't there tonight, but Birchall, he's...
So why are you throwing him under the bus?
Reeder getting thrown out of the bus while he's in Ottawa.
For the record, he's one of my favorites, but anyway.
Oh, no. Anyway, that Birchall, man. The only person that needs to be suspended after this game is Birchall himself for the rest of the league and the rest of the playoffs. Like, that guy is just, oh, God, he's horrible. But anyway, it was so frustrating. First game this year, I've left early.
No kidding. That bad for you, eh?
Yeah, okay. It was just like, but Guelph was the better team, and they better smarten up if they think they're going to beat them in the playoffs. It's always a little elbow after the whistle or, you know, a poke or a bump from the Guelph players. I noticed that through the game that happened. But we're right, we sit right above them at the end there.
Yeah, and Guelph plays a physical game. They do, and even in the third period when they were up, they were still taking the body and making it difficult for the Rangers to get to good ice and make plays.
Yeah,
they forecheck hard. They really do. They get in on you, and they take away your time and space.
That's exactly what you're going to get in the playoffs with them.
No question.
Oh, yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
Yep.
But you know that going in, so you have to devise a game plan that allows you to, combat that.
Well, it should be fun. I'm looking forward to it because I can go to all the games. I had season tickets in Guelph for 25 years before I came over here.
Well, you're in the right barn now, Bill.
I think I am, yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thanks very much for making it. That goes back to your point earlier, Paul, when Matt Sopp said, we want these guys in the first round. Like, let's pick up where this one left off. We're not going to forget this. You talked about not only is it a nice rivalry, but for both teams, travel is remarkably easy. You're sleeping in your own bed every night, and fans from both cities will be able to make the easy drive back and forth, which is just it's great for the game, great for the league.
Yeah, no question. And the one point that I made, Mike, earlier is the importance of, you know, the less travel you have to do, the easier it is on your body. And get, you know, your home cooking, you're in your billet's house, you're in your own bed. Those are all little things that mean a lot as you go forward in the playoffs.
Just before we move forward and take a break here on Rangers Talk, and by the way, first-time callers get priority on our show tonight if you want to be a part of it at 519-570-2545 or star 570 and long-distance toll-free 1-800-570-5715. Bill used a description, a word that I cringe when I hear, Paul, because I'm not sure there is a bigger insult you can apply to a team. He said, soft. I don't think there's a bigger insult than that.
No,
and I'm not saying, like, Bill's not trying to be a mean guy or anything, but that, to me, when I hear that word, I'm thinking, I don't think you can say anything nastier about a team that other than that they are soft.
No, you don't want to be, in a game that's a physical game, you don't want to be regarded or recognized as being soft. I think, to be a little bit fairer, Guelph brings more of a physical presence than Kitchener certainly did tonight.
Yeah.
You know, but there's some pushback, but there needs to be more pushback, for sure. No question about it, from the Rangers side. And, you know, they've got some big defensemen. They've got some big bodies, Ulrichsen up front. Even Namestnikov, who's not he's 5 foot eight, but he plays on the edge there a little bit, like Cowan does. And
I won't go so far as to say rat, but he's a disturber.
Yeah.
Namestnikov loves to disturb.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think it was Bill who said, you know, they slash you, they elbow you. You know that. And in the playoffs, you better be prepared for it because that's the way they're going to play.
Trent Zwick certainly showed that there's no soft there. We already know Matt Andonovsky. Remember, two guys that are not afraid of any of that stuff and, in fact, relish it. Luke Elinas, Antonio Pugliese, not in the Rangers lineup tonight.
Giracolo isn't going to back down from anybody. You know, they'll be fine in that regard. If Mitchell Martin comes back, you know, he'll like to get involved with that. So they'll learn from this, and that's why I asked Sopp, does it go in the memory bank or not? And it certainly does, you know, going forward.
One of the best ways you can combat this sort of thing is to get the first goal of the game and set the tone yourself. Right?
Yeah,
and the Rangers weren't able to do that in either of these games against Guelph.
No, and if Guelph is going to take penalties in the playoffs, you have to be able to convert on those things, which maybe back them off a little bit from that, because they can't be going to penalty parade to the box all night long. You have to make them pay the price.
Did we just see a first-round playoff preview? The Guelph Storm told us on Sunday they want the Rangers in the first round. Matt Sopp told us after the game tonight he'd like to see Guelph in the first round. I wonder how Rangers Nation feels about that. Nancy, Robert, hang on. We'll get right to your calls, and there's a line open for you if you want to be a part of Rangers Talk tonight after a 5-2 Guelph victory here at the Memorial Auditorium. You're listening to City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now, 519-570-2545. Brought to you by You Say Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Back-to-back wins for the Guelph Storm over your Kitchener Rangers on Sunday at the Sleeman Center and tonight at the Memorial Auditorium. A 5-2 win for Guelph, 3 power play goals and a shorty in the Storm victory. 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Let's get right back to the phones. Nancy, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hello, how are you tonight?
We're great. How are you?
I'm good. I just left from the game, driving home, and I just think the Rangers made a few errors at the beginning. They just couldn't come back. It was almost like they forgot where the puck was supposed to go. And the refs weren't the best. They were kind of playing with their eyes closed, I think. So it was hard for them.
One of the things we need, we haven't seen in a while, is somebody to bring in a disposable pair of glasses or something they picked up at the dollar store. Toss those onto the ice and tell the refs to pick them up or something. We haven't seen that in a long time.
Well, there was a lot of shouting.
What do you think the mistakes? You mentioned the Rangers made mistakes. What are the mistakes that you saw that you would like to see cleaned up?
Well, I just think like when the toss into the net at the beginning of the game, and they just bad calls from the refs. They just couldn't like shake it off. They just couldn't come back. They just were, it's like, I think maybe they thought they were in fourth place and they had it.
Yeah, that's where the mental part of the game is you know, you have to be mentally strong.
And they're young, so sometimes, you know, it's just, they just couldn't seem to shake it off. We were watching it.
Yeah.
Nancy, appreciate the call. Thanks very much for making it. And it comes back to something we've touched on here on Rangers Talk, Paul, and that is, of course, the non-call, which not only threw everything into disarray for a while. The Rangers end up with the 5 for fighting. Matt Sopp was still serving a double minor, which was up on the board. Then the Rangers got teed up on the bench. So all kinds of different things were happening. A lot of pressure was put on the special teams, and you're trying to focus on that. But at the same, so not only are you down in a 5-on-3 for an extended period of time, it went for well over 2 minutes. The Rangers were down 5-on-3, but you're trying to put the call that you think should have been made out of your mind while you focus on the task at hand.
Yeah, and you know, Cameron Reed is such a important part of this club and well-liked by his teammates that they were stinging from that, no question, Mike. And then the other aspect of that is when you have players sitting on the bench because they don't kill penalties and they get cold, you know, and all those sorts of things, and then the bench gets discombobulated a little bit because of line change, like the lines are all mixed up, and so there was a lot happening there. I'm not as alarmed at this. Like, it's bad, okay, but they'll be fine. This is not a game where, other than the Reed incident, like that might be ugly for the Rangers if they don't get him back. But I think you have to let this game go. You burn the videotape, and you don't even really worry about it, and you move on. And they have a tough opponent coming Friday. That'll be a good test. So I'd like to see, you know, the pushback against the team that's on a real heater right now.
Yeah, we don't want to cause panic throughout Rangers Nation here, but there is legitimate concern because Cameron Reed did not see the ice again after taking that big hit. Obviously, the way he went into the boards is concerning, and we know how the Rangers struggled without him earlier this season. It's a 16-year-old rookie defenseman, and that's how much he means to the lineup. So yes, if he is, but it's still a big if, he's injured, that is a bad sign. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it and we get more information. We're just speculating from here. One other thing, though, just to talk about the frustration that was clearly showing through. I mentioned the Rangers bench got teed up when all of this was happening in the first period. And at the end of the game, the only thing we were missing was Jeff Kerzakis doing his best John Tortorella impression and telling the referee, I'm not going. Yeah, the bench got teed up again. And next thing you know, Jeff Kerzakis was headed down the tunnel with less than 2 minutes to go in the game.
I hope he got his money's worth and unleashed what he wanted to say.
I'm sure he did and got himself a nice cold bottle of water when he got back to the dressing room. All right, back to the phones. Robert, you are on Rangers Talk.
How are you tonight?
We're doing well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. First of all, I'd like to condemn the refereeing for being one lopsided issues. And congratulations to the fans for not losing their cool, because 20 years ago, I took my two sons to a game, and there was more stuff on the ice, popcorn, pop, everything that somebody could toss onto the ice was there. But the team has to pull together, even though they're missing one of their key players, and I think they can still do it.
It's funny you say that about the stuff being thrown on the ice, because when I was going down to do my post-game interviews, one of the ushers said to me, 15 years ago, this place would have been littered with, I forget her name, I'm sorry, but she said this place would have been littered and fans would have been throwing stuff on the ice, and yep. And now we hear it again there. So good on the fans for keeping
absolutely
their cool.
I was pretty ashamed to take my sons to that game, actually. I thought people would have been a little more respectful of that. I mean, referees only people, and they see what they see, you know. I mean, but like you said, the other fellow said, did they pay Kitchener taxes or Guelph taxes?
Yeah, that's a pretty good line. If you're gonna chirp a referee, I don't mind that chirp at all. What, are you paying taxes in the other city?
No, you know what? They're just people, and they see what they see, you know. I mean,
well, they did miss. The hit on Reed was a bad miss. It really was. And it set the tone for the game, I think. The non-call.
Yep. Yep.
It was a little lopsided for penalties, but hey, you know what? The game will go on.
Yep. The game will go on. Robert, it's great to hear from you. Thanks very much for calling into the show. You know, Paul, you as
thanks,
well,
Robert.
Sir. Thank you. I love, first of all, how he started. He's condemning the referees. It's not even Easter yet. Pontius Pilate is not in the building, but the officiating crew tonight has been condemned. I absolutely love it. But Robert talks about that incident 20 years ago. As a father, he was embarrassed. It goes back more than 20 years, but Paul, I'll never forget. So I grew up in this town. I used to come to this barn as a kid, and as a wee lad, of course, Dad would be bringing me to the games. And there was a game, the likes of which Robert describes, one night where all manner, you name it, it was on the ice. There were all kinds of shenanigans, all kinds of fights. The ice is being littered. I'm a kid. I'm having my best night ever. Like, this is the greatest thing in the world, right? There's fighting, there's booing, there's popcorn being thrown on the ice. My dad took us home. We left the game early. I'm like, Dad, are you kidding me? But he was so embarrassed. He said, this is not what we come to the hockey game for.
Yeah.
And he walked us out. I'm like, Pop, you have got... I was devastated because I was having so much fun as a wee lad.
Well, the other thing that the usher said to me, she said, not only would there have been stuff thrown on the ice, there would have been bench-clearing brawl.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and if Mike Moore was playing, he would have dove into the bench, as Brian Bellows alluded to a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah, no, those days are past. And thankfully, the game's better off by not having,
of course,
you know, bench-clearing brawls and all that stuff. But, yeah, you still get emotional for sure.
I don't know how kind it is, honestly, but I also don't mind, you know, we were talking about the, hey, ref, what city do you pay taxes in, chirp, which, you know, seems creative enough for me. I really don't mind a ref you suck chant.
Yeah.
I don't know how it feels if you're the one out there on the ice and 6,000, we had 6,044 in here tonight. If they're all chanting that down, it might be a little bit on the intimidating side. But, you know, it's just a voicing of the displeasure or the disagreement.
Yeah, you're out there, you know, you're subject to being ridiculed, I guess, especially when they feel there was a missed call, and it was a missed call.
So before we take a break and continue on, let's get back to, I mean, here's the big thing, and I've already alluded to this. This is our last opportunity, yours and mine, Paul, to be here for Rangers Talk. We're going to be on the road Friday night right after that game versus Oshawa, which is going to be a great game. You mentioned that, too. And, of course, we'll be here in the playoffs. But it is still wide open. As of this moment, Guelph is the first-round playoff opponent for the Kitchener Rangers. But Erie is playing well and in the mix. Flint is playing well and in the mix. Owen Sound not playing so well and in the mix. Owen Sound and Guelph are going to play each other twice on the final weekend. They will likely cancel one another out of the playoff picture or the first-round opponent for the Rangers picture. But after watching these two games, selfish reasons for easy travel aside, I would love to see this as a first-round playoff matchup.
Oh, no question. And I remember, Mike, going back when I was coaching here, we had a playoff series against Guelph. Like, Latta, Matt Kennedy, that whole group, it was Bertuzzi, it was wild. Like, it was vicious, you know, crazy. And I loved it. I mean, the intensity, the hatred, and two good teams. Guelph was really good, and we had a good hockey club, too. So that's the playoff intensity you want, and that's what the fans want to see, too. And I think it'd be a great matchup. You know, it's interesting, though, our final game of the season might have some bearing on the playoffs, too, because if Erie's in a position where they win, I believe they have the tiebreaker at this point with Guelph, so they could end up there. So it's going to be interesting last couple of games to see what all transpires.
Well, that game versus Erie will be the last game for the Kitchener Rangers. Oh, and it is also the last game for the Otters. So their final three, they're on the road tomorrow in Flint. How interesting is that for the playoff picture? And then they are on the road again Thursday in Windsor and then home to us on Saturday. That's what's left for
the
Erie
Otters. Ending for them.
It is a tough ending for them. Guelph has got Owen Sound, London to finish out. So, oh, it's going to be a wild one, Fixie. It's going to be a wild one. We may not know until Saturday who the first-round opponent will be. Rangers fall 5-2 to the Guelph Storm tonight. We'll take a break and continue on Rangers Talk. This is City News 570.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now. 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Well, the Guelph Storm get three on the power play. They get another one shorthanded. And they roll over the Rangers 5-2 in front of 6,000-plus at the Memorial Auditorium tonight. Rangers Talk for You Save Flooring. Be a part of the conversation at 519-570-2545, star 570, 1-800-570-5715. Derek, you're on City News 570.
Hey, guys. You talk, well, they talk about the reffing. It's a tough job in that OHL, but you know I've been around a long time. We'll go back 40 years, and there was a guy named Jim Lever. I don't know if you guys remember him.
He did a great job.
All the time. But anyway,
that's a name from the past.
It is.
That's all I want to say.
All right, Derek. Appreciate that call. Look, everybody loved Paul Stewart in the National League as well as a guy. Sean Reed's name came up before. I'm kind of a fan of his in this league. Look, I think Robert said it really well a moment ago. There is a good deal of frustration tonight, and I think, understandably, if this was not a well-officiated in terms of calls, nor was it a well-managed game, in my opinion. It happens. They're human. It's not an easy job. It's really not.
It's a horrible. I have all the respect in the world for these guys to do that because it's not easy. And now with replay, you know, they have to make the call live, but at least they can go to the penalty benching and look at it. But in the old days, there was no replay. They had to make the call instantaneously,
right?
Which was really difficult. So they have a bit of an aid there. But the other side of that is we get to look at it in slow motion, you know, over and over and critique it. And, you know, I mean, they have to make it in live time.
Right.
So it's not easy. No, it's tough.
It's tough. And when you have a bad night, everybody sees it. 12,000 eyes, 6,000 sets of eyes were on the crew tonight when they were not having their best night. And at the end of it all, the Storm pick up back-to-back wins over the Kitchener Rangers in what many now are hoping, including Rangers overager Matt Sopp, becomes a first-round playoff series. Yeah, he was fired up. That was a really passionate post-game interview.
Yeah,
we're not going to forget this. I hate the other team.
The word hate.
He also used another four-letter word that we'll just let slide because it was the heat of the moment, and that's okay, Matthew. That is okay. Let's get back to the phones on Rangers Talk. Steven, you are on City News 570.
Hello, my friends. How are you?
We're good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, well, a little frustrated, but, you know, I mean, I agree. I mean, hey, everybody has off days, off nights for sure. And I guess the old saying goes, if you're going to have a off night, you might as well make it a real off night. But, just more a bit concerned. I mean, power play was rolling there that one game. And, you know, and then you roll for a three and give up a shorty. You know, something you really have to make sure you get going again in the playoffs.
Well, and just before they gave up that shorthanded goal, Bashar had a great scoring opportunity, and he elected to pass across to the far side. And I think he should have taken the shot. I think he would have scored from where he was. Right-handed shot on his strong side, and he elected to pass, and then they come right back and get the shorthanded goal. Steven mentions about off night. It's one of the greatest lines I've ever heard from Harry Neal. Even Betty Crocker burns the odd cake.
There you go. I think they burned this one here tonight.
Oh, for sure. Concerned when, unfortunately, when part of that off night, you know, leads to a non-call that could lead to an injury to a player. I mean, you know, not just Cameron Reed, but, all, you know, any player, because, you know, that's the last thing you want to see, a serious injury and potentially sweating his career. So, but anyway, yeah, I mean, hey, I'll take Guelph. No doubt working in Guelph. I'd love to see Kitchener and Guelph first round, no doubt. Definitely be intense. And, you know, obviously I could go to Freeman Center for sure. So, anyhow, take care, guys. Have a good one. Safe trip, and we'll talk to you during the playoffs.
All right, Stephen, appreciate the call. Just before we get too carried away, and even Paul and I have admitted, speculation only, Cameron Reed did not return to the game. The way he went into the boards obviously raises some concern. It's not a career-threatening injury. And, you know, Stephen's point, I get it. Frustration because a non-call leads to an injury. Well, the hit happened regardless, so you'd like to see it penalized, but that's where that to me is the moment. I said this earlier. I've been looking at really these last four games starting Sunday in Guelph as virtually meaningless because the Rangers are finishing fourth. It just determines who they're going to play when 5 through 8 is sorted out. But it becomes anything but meaningless with a potential injury to a star player on the Rangers blue line.
Yeah, that would be a big loss.
Yeah.
Like we've touched on that so many times during that tough stretch that the Rangers had, the importance of Cameron Reed and what he means to this club. He's a top four defenseman as a 16-year-old. That's how important he is to this hockey club. And earlier this year, UC Ahokas referred to him as the best player for his age, the best defenseman for his age in the world in an interview with you. I recall him saying that. That's quite a compliment.
It certainly is from a guy that has won World Junior Gold. So he's seen a few players at this age in his lifetime for sure. Let's stay on the phones. We go next to Steve, who is on Rangers Talk. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you doing, Mike? And Paul, it's nice to hear from you as well. You guys did a great job this season.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate that.
Well, you're not done yet, but you're done.
Thanks, boss. Yeah.
So, anyways, no, I you know, I've been to a lot of games too over my lifetime, being almost 52. That's a long time. So I've been coming since age 5. And I remember one of the greatest brawls in OHL history. It was Bert Templeton and the North Bay Centennials versus the Rangers. And that was when the Hatcher brothers were still in junior. And that one actually involved the police, if I remember correctly. They had to actually go down into the visitors' tunnel to break up a fight because they took their skates off and took it out into the hallway. So, yeah, that was a good one. So, not
oh,
as much
those were the days.
On the ice, but a great one back in the day. But tonight I wanted to talk about something else other than that game. It was one of those ones that you just want to, you know, you're glad you're there to support the boys, but you want to forget about it because it's not important. I mean, officiating isn't going to win you hockey games, but they've got to find a way to overcome that, and I'm sure they will. But, you know, you don't want to see a young kid like Cameron get thumped into the boards that hard. So if you're talking bro code, you know, Swick did the right thing in pummeling the Guelph player that hit him that hard. So that's just an opinion.
Steve, appreciate that call. That's what this show is for, your opinions. And when he talked about that throwback big brawl, I thought in with North Bay and Bert Templeton, I thought it was going to be that infamous game of the week that they used to do on Global TV. And I'm pretty sure that was North Bay. And was it Hamilton back then? But anyway, it was pregame Sault Ste. Marie. Sault Ste. Marie. But it was a pregame Donnybrook. And, oh, my goodness. And you're showcasing the game on television on Saturday afternoon. Yeah. Jack Miller calling the games. Anyway, I like where Steven's coming from here. You know, you can feel bad about bad officiating, but that's not going to be the determining factor as you move into the playoffs.
No, and again, the official didn't cost the Rangers the loss tonight. They contributed to it, but they weren't the root cause. The biggest thing is, you know, Nemesnikov's job is to get through and eliminate. Like, he's expected to make a hit on the forecheck off the faceoff loss. But he hits a player that's in a vulnerable position, blindsided, and Cameron was in that dangerous area where, you know, you're too far away from the boards that when you're going to go into the boards awkwardly and hard, and that's exactly what happened. So, you know, I don't want to speculate on what happened. Maybe they just kept him out for precautionary reasons, but it was a malicious hit.
I'll go back to what UC Ahokas told you post-game, Paul. I thought it was a really good point made. There's a non-call on what he called a dirty hit and believed to be blindside boarding. And then with 21 seconds to go in the game, his defenseman gets 5 and a game for slashing, which I've never heard before in my 20-plus years in this league. So it's really curious how you can hand out 5 and a game for slashing and hand out nothing for a blindside boarding.
A slash that was to the lower body, the legs area, and Sop takes it to the face last week. So be interesting to see what transpires here.
One of the big things for the Kitchener Rangers, Paul, and you talked about this earlier, is just burn the tapes of this one and focus on the next game. How much more important now are the next two games? There's a big team coming in here on Friday night. That's a big test against a real good team in Oshawa, and then you're on the road right away to play in Erie the next night. But more than anything, I think this Ranger team wants to start feeling good about itself before the playoffs.
Yeah, they're big games, Mike, especially the Oshawa one, I think, because it's the next game. And the next game is always, you know, the important one. And you don't want to go into the playoffs. You know, I would, if they were to lose those games, 4-game losing streak, that's not a good feeling. So I think they're very important games. It'll be interesting to see what kind of lineup they have, though, with some of the things that happened here tonight, and I don't know the extent of how much rest Pugliese needs, and Ellenis, how ill he is. So those are important pieces. Now, Campbell was out, and he's a physical body. He'll lay some punishment out. If it is Guelph that we're playing, Carson Campbell likes the physical part of the game too, so... But I think they're very important games, especially not so much the Erie game, but I think the Oshawa game is, because it's the next game, and I want to see what kind of bounce back and push back they have after back-to-back losses to Guelph.
All right, let's sneak one more in before our quick timeout. Andre, you're on Rangers Talk.
Yeah, let's go Rangers. Well, to me, I see a lot of positive. Hunter was good. Chalet was good. There was a couple quiets. Sop, well, I don't know. I'm sorry, bud, but, you know, he doesn't belong in the
box. He sounded good in his post game.
Pardon me?
He sounded great in his post game interview, and I can say that for sure.
What bugs me, Mike, is there's no captain, and I'm trying to find who's captain. And to me, Matt Sopp should have been captain a while ago. And it's just up and down, up and down. To me, tonight, there should have been a timeout because there should not be frustration over the Guelph.
When were you going to take the timeout? When would you have taken it?
After the first fight, when it was 2-0, I would have took a timeout and say, okay, guys, you know what I mean? Let's get back to our game. Let's get back to our system. They were good, yes. They did their thing. They played it like it was a playoff. Bowman, I really like him as a player. Remember I talked to you last time? He did a hat trick against Kitchener. I didn't know his liaison with Kitchener. I really like the interview you did, Paul. Pizza and popcorn, yeah, that's what my kid does. I would have liked to see what's his name? I keep forgetting the other goalie we have.
Malba.
Yes, if they would have put him in third period, like you said, you know, just give him the other guy a break. But you know what? I wouldn't leave this behind for tonight. Yes, until the next game. Yes, but once the playoff starts, if we do start with Guelph, I think they should sit down and review the video of the game because, like you said, Paul. There was a lot of penalties, but I think they did good on the penalty game. Simon Motu, he's getting so mature. He's stepping it up because, what's his name, the big guy, Mitch Martin's not there, Pugliese's not there. Mitrojevic hasn't scored in a while. We need him. Just like Korsen Rakoff, he was quiet for a while. He came back. You know, these young bloods, they're inspired by these players. So I really hope that the next week or two, hopefully as a team, we can do this and we can go far. Go Rangers.
All right. Thanks, Andre. Appreciate the call. Lot in there. Look, before any playoff series, Paul, there will be heavy pre-scouting. There's going to be 5-6 days between the final game and the first playoff game, the final regular season game, when the Rangers will know who they're playing. There will be lots of time to pre-scout, and if it's the Guelph Storm, don't worry, the Rangers will be ready.
Well, they'll be ready, and having played them 8 times this year, Mike, they know what to expect. And now Guelph is getting their lineup back in order. You know, I think this is only the second game where they've had Allen and Buchinger together on the blue line. When we were playing them earlier, I don't think they were both there. I know Buchinger was hurt, and then Allen was hurt. We had the shoulder surgery, I believe, right?
Didn't come back till January.
So those are big pieces that they've got back, and so it's a different lineup than we had seen previously.
And they're certainly going in the right direction with back-to-back wins over the Rangers. Our direction is to a quick break, and we're back with more Rangers talk for You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. 5-2 Guelph over Kitchener tonight. You're listening to City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Rangers fall 5-2 to the Guelph Storm tonight. Penalty trouble abounds. I have Guelph with 10 power plays. The online scoring summary still shows 8. I still trust my numbers. I've gone over them a couple times. Regardless, the Storm got 3 power play goals and a shorthanded goal in the win over Kitchener. I'm going to start calling this kid Johnny Come Lately instead of Eddie. He's always late. He's always last. Eddie, we love you, but you're short on time, so make it worth your while, young man. You're on Rangers Talk.
All right. I'll say that they started flat and they stayed flat the whole game. And yes, I think that officiating was pretty bad out there, but that is in no way an excuse for the performance the Rangers put out there today.
Wow. That's harsh, Eddie. You're becoming a critic in your old age.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you know what? I have gotten a little bit older. I know some people are very good at making that observation. You know what? It's just that was just flat. I'm not worried in a sense. I'm not thinking, oh, we're in for a tough stretch here. I think Friday they'll figure it out. Against that's a pretty good Oshawa team though, but I think they'll figure it out. Tonight was just not a good night overall.
How do you feel about Guelph as a first-round playoff opponent? Who do you want if it's not Guelph? Who do you want?
No. When it comes to Guelph, I have no doubt that the Rangers will win their first-round series. I will tell you that right now. I'm just trying to think if I'm taking it in five or six against Guelph. After the recent performances, I have to say six. One team, I thought about asking you this last Friday, but I didn't actually get a chance to call in. You guys have been talking about how you don't want to face Owens, or that Owens Sound is a decent team, and I have agreed that I'm not exactly a huge fan of facing them in the playoffs, but after the last few times the Rangers have played them, has that changed your mind at all?
Yes, it has. And Eddie, we got to run on that point. Appreciate the call. I think that's a really good observation by Eddie. Owen Sound definitely seems to be trending in the wrong direction. Some nice players there. Great goaltending. Can't seem to put it together.
Paul. They've checked out.
They have.
For some reason,
yeah.
I don't know why, but they've checked out and they've already got their summer plans. They just look so uninterested in playing the game of hockey. I'd love to get them in the first round.
Yeah, that would be, but as we've talked about, no, because the Owen Sound and Guelph Storm, Owen Sound Attack and Guelph Storm are going to cancel one another out, yeah. It seems. And Owen Sound's only got the two games left against Guelph. So the Storm on Thursday night can eliminate Owen Sound as an opponent for Kitchener.
Yep.
Because if Guelph wins that game, Owen Sound will not be able to catch fifth place. Just looking at the schedules ahead, Flint has a really tough road. They're home to Erie tomorrow, then in Sault Ste. Marie on Friday, and then home to Sarnia on Saturday. Flint is in the mix. As we've talked about, Owen Sound, two games left, both against Guelph. Guelph's got those two games against Owen Sound, and then a finale against the London Knights, and then the Erie Otters are on the road tomorrow in Flint, on the road Thursday in Windsor, and then back home to play Kitchener to close out the season on Saturday.
Tough schedules for some teams. The interesting one there is if London has clinched first overall, do they dress, you know, a Junior B lineup, really?
Right.
In that final game.
And that's a great point, because as long as, well, yeah, if they've clinched first overall, because they got a 4-point lead right now, yeah, on Saginaw. London would have to lose and Saginaw would have to win out. Lose game. London would have to lose one game, and Saginaw would have to, yep, win out to catch them again. So that's how things stand after back-to-back Rangers losses. I would love this as a first-round playoff matchup, especially with the passion that came out tonight. I think this sets up real nice for the league and for me, selfishly.
I agree, Mike. It'd be fun.
All right. Friday night is our next game. If you don't have tickets, I'd recommend, because Oshawa's a great team. It's going to be a big test for the Kitchener Rangers. If you can't make it, we've got you covered right here on City News 570, of course. On behalf of my broadcast partner, Paul Fixner, and our producer back at the boardwalk, Adam Sanderson, my name is Mike Farwell. I bid you a very good Tuesday night from the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener.
This has been another edition of City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Your home for the Kitchener Rangers. City News 570.